let's follow that up. Okay, you mentioned John 1, and I think that's an excellent passage. What are some other passages that prove the deity of the Lord Jesus in this line of thinking? The gold, where it would speak of the deity of the Lord Jesus, and you mentioned his creatorial power, that all things were created through him and by him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So let's go down that line a little bit, and let's get some other input, thinking about other passages in Scripture that would remind us of that.
Of his deity.
Of his deity. We mentioned John 1. Okay, so that's one. What else?
Colossians 1.
Excellent. Somebody want to read something there? Or Craig, did you have a particular verse?
I'll turn to it. Colossians 1, starting at verse 15, speaking of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy.
And while we're in Colossians, let's go to chapter 2, verse 9. Good, you got it?
Colossians 2, verse 9.
Could you read verse 3 along with that and then 9?
Sure. So Colossians 2, starting at verse 3, then verse 9.
Yeah.
In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then verse 9. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily.
Connect verse 10 with it too.
Sorry?
Verse 10.
Oh, verse 10, okay. And you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority.
Okay. Okay. Any other passages that might remind us of the deity of the Lord Jesus? Lars.
In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, it says in most translations, going from the Hebrew, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. That last phrase, though, in the Septuagint, that's the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it literally says, and his glory filled the temple. In John chapter 12, verse 41,
very good.
I'll start at verse 39. Start at verse 37. Even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet. Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason they could not believe, because Isaiah says elsewhere, in chapter 6, he has blinded their eyes and deadened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them. Verse 41, Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him.
Excellent.
Another reference is Romans chapter 9. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time I discovered it is like, how clearer can you get in terms of really seeing the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ? Romans chapter 9. And Paul is really talking about, I'll read from verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertained the adoption, the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever.
Nathaniel, you had a thought?
A little bit more hidden, but John
John 8, verse 58. It's a little bit more hidden than what we just heard, but then said 57. I read. Then said the Jews unto him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." And he's using the name of God there, the I am. And we have the same in when Judas comes to him with the folks, and it's in John 18, verse 5. They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus says unto them, "I am He."
We also see in Hebrews chapter 1.
Very good.
He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purifications for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs.
Okay, Lars.
Just to follow up on the reference from John, the I am sayings, we know that in Exodus, God says, "I am that is," or I am that I am.
Mm-hmm.
I am that is from Redwall, I think. Isaiah 43, verse 10. "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He." And in the Greek, the Septuagint again, that's the same wording. Ego eimi, I am. "Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one ever after me."
Very good. So, what we want to establish right from the beginning, and when we see that golden shaft in the lampstand, and it's made out of all gold, it would remind us of the fact of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've had ample verses. We could probably go through many, many more, but we'll be here all afternoon if we did that. And then the married couples or the marrieds might win this afternoon. So we don't want to do that. We want to move on. But just thinking of the deity of the Lord Jesus, what else do we see then that's significant? Going back to Exodus 25 again, what else do we see that's significant in the lampstand in that portion?
You see that there are the lampstand is ordained with almond flowers. And after our meeting yesterday, I did some digging to understand, you know, what could that mean. And I think one of the things that we talked about at the first meeting was one of the three things that were in the ark was the staff of Aaron that budded.
Mm-hmm.
And in Numbers, we see that it budded, and from that it was that of an almond tree. So I think there's a linkage there to Aaron's staff that had budded, which speaks of resurrection in terms of it was a dead stick that came to life. But there's also this aspect of because Aaron's staff budded occurred after the rebellion, Korah's rebellion, which was in essence the rejection of God's divine order. There's this aspect of light, as I mentioned before, speaking about truth versus darkness or judgment versus evil. So there's that aspect in terms of how almond comes to play there as well. I think there in the book of Jeremiah, if we turn to Jeremiah chapter 1,
mm-hmm.
There's also another reference to the almond. This is the beginning of when the Lord is calling Jeremiah to his work of service, and he says, "I've called you," and Jeremiah responds, "I'm too young." And the Lord says, "What do you see?" So if you go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah?" "I see the branch of an almond tree," I replied. And this is what the Lord responds. "The Lord said to me, 'You have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled.'" And in one of the footnotes that I have here, in my Bible, it says that the word almond is very close to the word watching in the Hebrew. And I think if the table of showbread, as we talked about yesterday, speaks of the privilege that we have as priests being able to partake and eat of the bread, the lampstand speaks of the responsibility of the priest, and that that God is watching. It's a very sobering thing to think about. Not only does the light give us the ability to see, but in Christ, he is actively watching continually, because the light was always continually burning. And I think that's the sobering piece. There's the privilege of the priest and eating of the bread and the table of showbread, but there's also the accountability that comes from the light.